James chapter 4. Let's pray together. Lord, what a beautiful morning. Lord, how good you are to us day by day. Literally, day by day, moment by moment, you're good to us. And your word is so beautiful. As we look into your word, we find these things that are so beautiful. And I pray, Lord, that we would take hold of them. We would embrace them. Enjoy them. Live them. Speak to us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit through your wonderful word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last time together when we were in the book of James, we actually finished chapter 4. But this morning, I want to go back to a phrase that you find in chapter 4 before we move on to chapter 5 next week, Lord willing. It's a phrase that we touched on briefly a few weeks back, but it's a phrase that's really stuck with me. It's one of those things that I've kind of been churning over and over on in my mind, and I found it to be an incredible blessing. So I want you to look a little closer at it this morning. You find it in verse 8 of chapter 4, the very first sentence of verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isn't that beautiful? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's a couple things about that phrase that I want you to see, and I want you to notice. I want you to notice first that this is a wonderful invitation. This is a wonderful invitation from God. God is inviting each one of us here this morning personally. He's saying, draw near to me. Come close. Don't keep your distance. Don't stay away. Come near. I love that. You know, that tells us so much about God's heart towards us. You know, there's so many people that think of God as some cold, impersonal force. There are people who think of God as this distant, aloof, indifferent God. There are even people that think of God as this angry, somber God who doesn't want to be bothered by people. That is simply untrue. God is warm. God is inviting. God loves you. God wants your company. God wants your friendship. God wants relationship with you. God isn't this God doing this to you. God is more like, come close. I want you. And you see that heart of God towards people throughout all of Scripture. You see it in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, when God created the first man, Adam, placed him in the garden, we read there that they used to walk together in the garden in the cool afternoon. And you imagine God coming to Adam and saying, hey, come here, come near, let's go for a walk. Wouldn't that be cool to go for a walk with God? He initiated friendship with Abraham. It was God who said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. That's God saying, come close. And Abraham is said to be a friend of God in the scripture. It was God who initiated relationship and friendship with Noah and Moses and David and many others throughout the scripture record. God says, come near. God says to his people in Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me, come to me. Come close. That's God's heart. Jesus has the same heart, being God, the Son of God. And you see that heart in Jesus in the New Testament. One of my favorite stories is recorded in John chapter 1 when Jesus has just gone into the ministry and he's speaking. And two of his disciples hear him speak for the first time. They're blown away by it. And so they begin to follow Jesus, kind of secretly. And Jesus catches them. He turns around and he looks to them and he says, what do you seek? And you can see the two guys are sort of fumbling. And then they go, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. The scripture says they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that whole day. Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus for a day? Come and see. Come close. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Come to me and drink. Jesus summarized his whole mission for coming to planet Earth in Luke chapter 19 when he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what God does. He seeks after us. He's looking for us. To everyone, he says, come. Draw near. And this is God inviting us. You know, think of how excited we get when maybe we get VIP passes and we get to go backstage and meet our favorite musician. Or maybe you win a contest and you get to meet your favorite athlete. Well, think of it. You can meet God. God says, come here. The King of Kings, the creator of the universe, says, draw near. And there are no restrictions. There's no timing restrictions. You don't have to win a contest to meet with God. Amen? God doesn't hold office hours where you can only get at him a few hours. You don't have to make an appointment with him. God maintains a permanent open door policy. The invitation here is, draw near to me now. Whenever you want, draw near. Stay as long as you want. There are no geographical limitations. You don't have to drive to God's office to spend time with him. You don't have to climb a mountain peak, get to the very top so that you can meet with God. You don't have to go on a spiritual pilgrimage in order to meet with God. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem. It's not like God will only meet you in a church or a cathedral. He's everywhere. He surrounds you. He's with you at all times. David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So you see, the invitation is this, draw near now and right now, right here. Draw near anytime and anywhere. We also know that he will receive us without any restrictions. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter your age. Little children are told to come to Jesus. In fact, it seems like little children are his favorite. In Matthew 19, he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." To teenagers, God says, "Draw near to me." To college students, draw near to me. To single people, draw near to me. To married people, God says, draw near. To the rich person, God says, oh, draw near. To the poor person, God says, come close to me. If you're afraid, if you're anxious, God says, come near to me. If you're depressed, if you're hurting, if you're brokenhearted, God's invitation is, draw near to me. If you're sick, God says, draw near to me. If you're steeped in sin, you've made an absolute wreck of your life. Your life is a mess because of sinful activities that you have committed. God says, draw near to me. Come close. Come to me. If you are a Christian who has turned away from the Lord, rebelled against him, God says, hey, draw near to me. Come close to me. What a beautiful invitation. I want you to notice that this phrase is also an incredible promise. Not is it only a wonderful invitation, but it's also an incredible promise. He says in verse 8, draw near to God and he what? Will draw near to you. It doesn't say draw near to God and he might draw near to you. It says draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God says, if you make even the smallest effort of coming close to me, of drawing near to me, I'll draw near to you. And the idea is this. God is saying, if you come to me, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. I'm here. Again, that is a promise that you find throughout all of the scripture. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Listen carefully. If you honestly, sincerely, in truth, make an effort to draw near to God, to come close to him, he'll will draw near to you. It is a promise. In Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You seek for me, you'll find me. Adam Clark, that brilliant scholar from yesteryear, wrote, when a soul sets out to seek God, God sets out to meet that soul. So that while we are drawing near to him, he is already drawing near to us. And the clear implication of this promise is, if you draw near to him in whatever condition you might be, he will draw near to you to help you, to be there for you. If you are sick and you draw near to him, he'll be there to heal you or work you through it. If you are depressed and you draw near to him, he'll meet you there. If you're anxious, if you're terrified, if there's something that's keeping you up at night, and you draw near to him, he'll give you peace. If you're going through a broken relationship, if you have a broken heart, if a relationship has failed or a marriage has failed, and you go to him, he'll be there for you. In fact, God is very, very tender with broken hearts. Very tender. Financial issues. Draw near to him. He'll be there for you. If you have completely blown it, if you have committed a sin for which you are paying dearly, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you and pour out his forgiveness and mercy and grace upon you. If you feel ugly, unloved, unwanted, left out, the odd person out, draw near to God. He'll meet you. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's there to help. It's a promise. Do you remember that story when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush? Remember that story? Imagine meeting a burning bush and it starts talking to you. God commissions Moses from that burning bush. And you remember, he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses is not keen on the idea. You remember? He's like, did you dial the right number? He felt completely inadequate. And then he starts making excuses. And here's one of the excuses he makes, if you remember. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say then? Oh, man, if I go and they ask me, what's your name? What am I going to say? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. What an incredible name for God. I am. The great I am. I am who I am. And that is the God who says, draw near to me. And I'll help you. It's as if he's saying to people, are you weak? I am strength. Are you poor? I am riches. Are you in trouble? I'm comfort. Are you sick? I'm health. Are you dying? I am life. Have you nothing? I'm all things. I am wisdom and power. I am justice and mercy. I am grace and goodness. I am glory, beauty, holiness, eminency, supereminency, perfection, all-sufficiency, eternity, Yahweh I am. Whatever is amiable in itself or desirable unto you, that I am. Whatever is pure and holy, whatsoever is great or pleasant, whatsoever is good or needful to make you whole, I am. God says, come to me and I'll be exactly what you need me to be. There is no greater resource on the planet than God. Amen? He'll be there for us. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have a need. It can be any one of those needs like we've gone through, a relationship issue, a financial problem, a sickness, Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's that worry or whatever it is that keeps you awake at night. A sin. I want you to know this morning, if you will draw near to him, he'll draw near to you to help you. He promises. But first, you must allow God to meet your greatest need. Before any other need, you must allow God to meet your greatest need. And our greatest need, by far, no comparison, is conversion. It's salvation. It's the forgiveness of sins. The condition of man before God is not good. I mentioned earlier how Adam was created and put in the garden. You remember that story? But you also remember that he fell into sin. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and that brought sin into this world, and death and sickness and all of these trials and issues and suffering and pain. And our sin separates us from God. He is without sin. He is holy. We must have all of our sins forgiven. All of our sins must be washed away. And God, in his grace, has made that possible. God sent his son Jesus to make it possible for sinners like you and me to be forgiven of our sins. That famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus, in that mission statement, said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why he came. He left heaven. He came to earth to save those who were lost. And you know how he did it? He offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. We need to be forgiven of our sins. We're all sinners. We can't do it. Only God can move to make it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. And Jesus willingly went to the cross, took all of our sins upon him, paid the price for them, so that you and I could have the opportunity of being forgiven. See, our sins set us at odds with God. We have to be reconciled to God. You have to be reconciled. And Christ died so that you could be reconciled unto God. And it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that all of sin can be forgiven. Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him, Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood," the blood of Christ, "comes the forgiveness of sin." Ephesians chapter 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off and distant have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." Do you realize that Jesus shed his blood? To cleanse the sins of sinful humanity. We read later the glorious truth that on the third day Jesus rose again. Amen. He is alive. He is a living Savior who paid the price for our sins. And the scripture says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Listen, maybe drawing near to God this morning for you means coming to Jesus and asking him to be your Savior. If you draw near to him, I'm a sinner, admit it. Ask him to be your Savior. He will draw near to you. He'll save you. He'll put his Spirit in you. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, when you acknowledge him personally, individually, before him, that you need him, when you invite him, when you draw near to him, Scripture says you will become gloriously born again. You will come into a right relationship with God. All of your sins will be forgiven. And then let him tackle all those other problems in your life. But first, let him save you. Have you done that yet? Has there ever been a time in your life where you got alone with Christ, where it was just you and Jesus? You bowed before him. You invited him to be your Savior. I want you to have an opportunity to do that this morning. Perhaps some of you here this morning are Christians. And there was a time in your life when you received Jesus. And maybe there was even a time in your life where you followed Christ and you served him. And you were excited about him. Maybe it was when you were a little girl or a little boy. Maybe it was when you were in a youth group. Maybe there was a time when you were close with the Lord and you were walking with him and you were serving him. But something went wrong. You got out in the world. And here you sit this morning, as a backslidden Christian. And you're miserable because you know you're not doing right. And because of the decisions that you've made, you're suffering a lot of problems. And you would sit here and you would wonder, will the Lord take me back? Draw near to him. And he will draw near to you. Come back. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Who could forget that story? You have this rich, awesome, incredible dad who pours so much love out on his kids. And his youngest son says, Dad, I want all my inheritance right now. And that was an insult. What he's literally saying to his dad is, why don't you die already so I can get your inheritance? Give me your inheritance now, my portion of it. And this dad says, okay. Gives that inheritance to the son. And what does the son go out and do? Goes out into a far country and squanders it all on wild living, boozing it up, taking care of everyone's tab. Loose living. Scripture says he squandered all of that money. And then he loses all of it. He becomes poor. The economy takes a turn. He is dirt poor. All those worldly friends have turned their backs on him. By the way, worldly friends will be there for you when you pick up the tab. They will not be there for you when you're hurting. I promise you that. So there he is, all of alone, and he starts to work for a farmer, and he starts to work in a pig farm. And he finds himself in a pig pen feeding the pigs these pods. And he's so hungry that he even says to himself, oh, I wish I could fill my stomach with those pods that are being fed to the pigs. You talk about being at the bottom of the bottom. And then when he's there, he finally thinks, wait a minute, it would be better for me to be a servant back home. My father is so good, he even treats the servants good. And he says, you know, I'll go back and I'll just tell Dad I can't be your son anymore, but I will be your servant. And so he begins to walk back, and you know what he finds out? Dad has been looking for him every morning and every evening. Dad's been out on the outskirts of his property, scanning the horizon, looking for his son, close, right there. As the story goes, and he, this son coming back, arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. That always gives me, that makes me emotional. Because I will tell you, there was a period in my life where I had to be the prodigal son coming home. And I will never, ever forget how God immediately responded to me. After blowing it, I came back to God. And he put a robe on me. You wonder, will he take you back? He most certainly will. Draw near to him. Come close. Christian, this is an invitation and a promise to all of us. As Christians, we are to draw near to him and let him draw near to us daily. Don't ever become too busy. I mean, God wants your time. God wants your company, your friendship, your relationship. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with him in the Word. Don't let your Bible reading be this religious exercise that you check off. Let it be where you are. You're meeting with your Father. You're drawing near to him. It's like, Lord, I'm drawing near to you. He will draw near to you. When you come to church, my brothers and sisters in Christ, draw near to God. When we have a time of worship together, corporately, when we sing songs to the Lord, draw near to him. And he'll draw near to you. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. As we draw near to him day by day, and as we make that a consistent thing, I promise you that'll keep us on the straight path, won't it? Keep you on track. A.W. Tozer many years ago wrote a beautiful devotion, and it is entitled simply, Nearness is Likeness. Nearness is likeness. You want to be more like God? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Then draw near to him. You'll become like him. I would add to that, nearness is joy. Nearness is health. Nearness is real life. Nearness is abundant life. Jesus said it's the enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. Don't believe the lies of the world that says, oh, come, you'll have so much fun, it'll be great. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life. And life more abundantly. Let's never get too busy to draw near to God. Amen. A very gifted Christian writer wrote a letter, a fictional letter that could be one that was actually written by Jesus to each one of us. I think it's beautiful. I'm going to read it to you. Dear friend, how are you? I just had to send you this letter to tell you how much I love you and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day hoping you would talk to me also. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. And I waited. You never came. Yes, it hurt me, but I still love you because I'm your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night, and I longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your pillow and face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened late, rushed off for the day. My tears were in the rain. Today you look so sad, so alone. It makes my heart ache because I understand. My friends let me down and hurt me many times too. But I love you. I try to tell you in the quiet green grass. I shout it to you in the colors of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams and give the birds love songs to sing. I clothe you with warm sunshine and perfume the air. My love for you is deeper than oceans and bigger than the biggest want or need you have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is on earth. I really know because I was there. And I want to help you. My father wants to help you too. He's that way, you know. Just call me. Ask me. Talk to me. It's your decision. I have chosen you, and because of this, I will wait. Because I love you. Your friend, Jesus. I think that communicates the heart of our Lord. That's his heart. Draw near to him. Whatever condition you might be here this morning right now, would you bow your heads? Lord, your love and your grace is fervent. It's amazing to see that you are so patient with us. So grateful. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet received you as Lord and Savior. And I'm talking to those of you here this morning right now. Have you had your sins forgiven? Has the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood that was shed on that cross, has that been applied to your life? Has it washed away your sins? Would you let that sacrifice go to waste? Would you let that incredible act of love be neglected? You know, receive Christ right now. If that's you, right now, I want you to receive Christ. Draw near to him. Pray this prayer right now. Lord, I'm responding to your invitation. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash them all away. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Make me born again. Make me right with you. Help me to follow you. Lord, I give you all the other problems in my life. I pray that you would move in a mighty way. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian who needs to return to Christ, may today be the day. Don't wait any longer. It only gets more and more miserable. Come back to the Lord. Come back to him now. Return. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, I'm returning to you. I repent. Receive me back. Help me, give me strength to make the decisions that might be hard but need to be made. Fill me with your spirit again and help me to follow you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray now for all of us that we would, oh Lord, take advantage of the open door. Oh Lord, we never forget how incredibly awesome we have it with you. You're there. Help us to walk with you day by day. Live confident lives, not in ourselves, but in you. I pray for every need here this morning that you would meet it in the only way you can. Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.